Welcome back to Faith Together, everybody. It's so great to be with you. As you know, my name's Lindsay, and I am joined today with Leon. Hi, Leon.
Hello, Lindsay. Good to see you again.
Good to see you, too. Leon, we're in the middle of a series together here at Faith Together that I'm really enjoying, Living Out the Shema.
Yeah, and we have done a couple episodes now on that, and they've been really great. It was really nice talking to your friend from, what's the name of that farm?
Yes, Locavore Farm.
Yeah.
Rachel.
So yeah. It was good having her with us, and that was a lot of fun. And we're on the part of the series we're doing is, we've divided this up, right?
Into
two sections.
Two sections.
Living Out the Shema at home. And living out the Shema away from home, kind of following the pattern of the Shema itself.
Yes. So just in case you're joining us for the first time today, Leon, when they hear the word Shema, what is the Shema?
Yeah, the Shema, well, the word Shema means to hear or to listen more than just with your ears, but kind of with your heart, soul, everything that is a part of who you are. But the actual Shema is a particular portion of scripture from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. And the Shema is a training tool, if you want to think about it, that Moses gave to the children of Israel and to parents in particular on how to go about passing faith to their children. And so we're kind of using that as a model for what we're doing on our podcast.
Yeah. And we've been talking a lot about, as we said, two different parts of living out our faith with our kids at home. One way is how we can do it inside our homes. And then also we'll be moving toward ways we can do it outside of our homes.
Right. Because it's, according to the Shema, we're doing it all the time.
Inside and outside.
So trying to find great ways to do that.
So we've just finished up meal times these last couple of weeks. So if you've not heard those episodes yet, listeners, be sure to tune into those, because give some real practical ways that we can pass faith while we're sharing a meal together. And today we are jumping into what might be the last time of the day, the bedtime rituals, things that we can do at bedtime with our kids or grandkids, or wherever you're caring for kids in your life, you can share faith at bedtime.
Yeah, and I think just hearing that for parents brings a little bit of a cringe to them, because bedtime, wow. I remember with my girls, and they were pretty compliant when it came to bedtime, so we didn't have to deal with all the horror stories that we hear from other parents. Sorry about that, y'all. But yeah, this can be a real trying time for parents trying to figure out the best way to do this. So we brought an expert today.
An expert?
Yes, an expert.
Oh my goodness.
A mom. Who is
Moms
doing
are experts
this.
At everything, because we just have to be, right? You just got to figure it out.
Yeah, moms have a way of figuring this stuff out. And so we have invited Jenna Dursine. Did I say that right, Jenna?
You did.
Okay, good to be with us. And we're going to hear from Jenna probably as just we talk today, but then we're going to give her a little bit of time just to share some things that she has shared with me earlier, which I think would be really helpful to our families. But before we go into that, I ran across a couple kid prayers that I found on the Focus on the Family website that I just thought might give us a little insight into the kinds of things kids are thinking about at bedtime and all that, just kind of as some fun before we kind of jump into what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so the first prayer is, Dear God, I am amazed at something. You are truly God. Heaven is so big, which means it must be so heavy. And yet it can be hung high up in the sky above the clouds. How do you do that? Okay, I was just wondering. Amen. But it gives you the insight to the heart of a child, right?
Okay, I was just wondering.
Yeah, I was just wondering. The next one I thought was good too. Dear Lord, thank you for everything, and thank you for the world. I just love you. You're a great God. I just love your world. But that doesn't mean that I love my backyard, my great house, and my comfy bed more than I love you. I love you more. And thank you for Baskin Robbins and ice water. They are great, Amen.
You got to love the random one-liners.
Yeah, you got to like those. Oh, goodness. Anyway, so one of the things that got this started, Lindsay, as you and I were talking, was a remembrance of a project that I have done in one of my classes with my children's ministry students.
Yes, and I absolutely love that you do this project with them, and I can't wait for our listeners to hear more about this, because this project kind of led us to this episode and really this whole series, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it started with this episode.
It started
episode.
With this and then other research that we ran across along the way, and it just kind of confirmed a lot of the things we were thinking. Mm-hmm. So the research project includes my students after we go through all of the preliminary things that you have to do in academia to be able to do research with people. I don't know if you know, but there's a long process you have to go through, mm-hmm. and your project has to be approved in advance by a board at the university so that you do no harm in your research when you're working with people. So we go through all of that. Then they're given the assignment, and the assignment is to meet with three children that they are somewhat familiar with or know, or a part of the ministry that they may be a part of at their local church. And they're to interview those three children. And in the interview, they're to do things like ask them to draw a picture of God, mm-hmm. Which tells us a lot about the way that kids think about God, whether they draw, you know, younger kids usually draw Jesus with a sash, which is fascinating to me. I don't know where kids pick that up, but
probably those picture Bibles that
must
they've seen.
Be very, very common.
Yeah.
To have a sash. And then as they get older, usually they're drawing like a cloud or something a little less tangible.
Sure.
Because they're recognizing God is kind of bigger than just Jesus and a person, right? Which is good that they're starting to develop those concepts. But and other questions include things like, do you know someone who knows God really well? And what about them lets you know that they know God really well? And talking some about that.
But I think, just to pause there, Leon, I think starting the conversation with kids by asking them to draw something that is abstract is a great way to start. Because there's something about kids drawing pictures and having that creative element that they're able to feel more comfortable to answer more questions after the fact. You know, I think that's really cool.
Yeah. And as you're bringing that up, it reminds me of something that Jenna mentioned when we were talking about what you do with your kids before they go to bed.
Yeah.
What is it you have them do? Well, we'll get to this eventually, but this is a good time to throw part of this in here.
They do get some time before bed to either just a quiet activity, and sometimes that is drawing. Mm. A lot of times it's reading or looking at books. But yeah, we do try to pause before bed and just have some quiet time of a quiet activity. And a lot of times they do like to draw and imagine and, you know, just use their creativeness.
Yeah, that's good. And we're going to have you, I'm excited for our listeners to hear all the other things you're going to share as we get to that point. So they do the drawing, and then they're asked about someone that they know who knows God really well. And oftentimes this is a parent or a pastor or someone like that. And then we ask them if they pray. And of course they always say yes, most of them do. And what do they pray about and those kinds of things. And then ask them what prayer is, and usually they get that pretty well. And then we ask the question, and this is the trigger question for me. Does God ever talk to you? Now, that may sound like a pretty deep question to ask a child, and it really is. If someone were to ask me, does God ever talk to you? I would say yes, but then I would have a hard time kind of explaining what I mean by that and how to describe it to others. What we have found in this research, and I've been doing this for years, is that most of the children say no, God does not talk to them, which is not surprising.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that fascinates me is of the kids that do say God talks to them, I would guess, I haven't run the stats on this, but I would guess that about 95% of them, when they are asked, when does God talk to you? It's when they're in bed.
Interesting.
And that just intrigues me. I think I've shared with you that at some point, maybe after I've retired and I have nothing to do with my time, that I will write a book and do some more research on this. I'm hoping it'll be before then, maybe as part of this project we're doing. I'll do more research on that. But here's some of the things that have caught my attention and I'm asking questions about. What is it about bedtime that makes it unique that kids have an opportunity to hear the voice of God? Mm-hmm. What role does darkness play in that? What role does quiet play? What role does being alone or possibly have fear, being alone, being in the dark, have to play in that, that children would say when God talks to them, it is at bedtime? So all of that really sets, for me, sets this up as a pretty significant time in our lives that maybe for many of us, we just see as a time that we need to get kids in bed and hopefully they fall asleep.
Sure. That this is something more than that, right? This is a sacred time.
It really is a sacred time.
Yeah. I think a lot about all of those questions you pose, Leon, but specifically what causes bedtime to be so unique. I think there's an element of a limit of distractions where they aren't on a screen.
Mm-hmm.
They aren't surrounded by stimuli that may make them have a conversation with someone, or even just looking out the front window in the yard and what are the neighbors doing, and you know, not being in the car as you're going to and from different places with different things changing around you all the time. There's something about not having those distractions around you. And there's something to the comfort that their bed, their room brings to them. Something that's predictable, that's routine, that they look forward to, and that feels safe, right?
Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah, so I wonder then if our pattern of preparation for those moments becomes significant now. Instead of just saying, okay, we've been busy doing whatever, I look at the clock, it's 8 o'clock. It's time for the kids to get to bed. And then it's this rush movement toward bedtime. I'll make sure you brush your teeth, get in bed. Okay, make sure you use the bathroom, those kinds of things. And then it becomes this frustration for us because the kids aren't ready to sleep. They're active. They have every excuse under the sun for why they need to get up and do something before they go to sleep. And so I think maybe one of the things that we might be able to help parents with is considering creating, if you don't already, having a routine of bed preparation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's part of what we want to talk about today.
Yeah, absolutely. So Jenna, can you tell us a little bit about what that looks like for your family?
Sure.
And tell us a little bit about your family.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, first of all, I'm not an expert, but I'm just a mom.
That makes you an expert.
Well, we'll see. But yeah, I have two boys. One, the oldest is 11 now, and the youngest is 8.
Okay, you need to say their names because they're going to want to listen to this. They're going to want to hear their names.
They will. Sweet Ethan is the 11-year-old, and Nolan is the 8-year-old.
Okay.
And they're sweet kids.
Yes, and I have
lots
the privilege,
of energy,
and I have the privilege of serving with them at church.
Oh, I love
so
that.
So they're wonderful. Mm. They're wonderful boys.
Yeah, so that's a little bit about my family. We had to set good routines early on just because my husband worked an afternoon shift. So a lot of the time I was home by myself, and that's a lot to put kids to bed. There was only two of them, but you know, they're busy boys and they were active. And so just for my own sanity, it helped to have some consistency and some routine to just even stretch out the night, you know, when it was so long and I was by myself with them, to just have an order that we went through. And then as they got older, it was nice because it just was natural for them and they knew what to expect. They knew, okay, these are the things that we do. So some of the stuff we do now is we don't have screens after dinner. Like you said, it's really helpful not to have extra distractions right before bed. That helps a lot to just create that stillness and that calmness before bed.
Okay, now we can't move on from that. When I first saw that, no screens after dinner, I thought, okay, what a difficult pattern to create because kids are all over their screens, right? Mm-hmm. Pretty constantly. I love the idea of doing that. It totally changes the dynamics of the rest of the night.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
For sure. So, I mean, I won't say that we there are occasions where, as a family, you know, we'll have some special time of, right now the kids are really into kids baking shows. And so occasionally, you know, on the weekend, we will have time where we just sit together and do that as a family. But otherwise, during the week, we do try to just have some quiet time.
Yeah. And so, so with the tablets and the television not being a distraction, I suspect that all of a sudden you have all kinds of time.
Well, they're in an age now where we do, they do have evening activities. So that kind of cuts into our evenings too. But, you know, then they kind of have to figure out what else they can do. Go play a game together, or, you know, Legos. Legos all day.
Oh, yeah.
It feels like could be any time of day for them. But
yeah. So this is a really important topic to Lindsay and I. In fact, we're right now are working on a series that we'll be bringing to you.
Yes.
Probably later in the spring,
I think so.
Right?
Yeah. That's what our goal
on,
is.
On technology, children and technology, and what it does and what it doesn't do, and all of those kind of things. And we're trying to find somebody who is really like a specialist on this, because this is such an important topic.
I
know something that parents struggle with.
Yeah. So if you know anyone that's a really,
let us know.
That's an expert in technology and kids, keep us posted.
Yeah. We're going to continue doing research on this and then find someone who can help speak
and
into
it. And I think
it.
We don't want to just be against technology. I mean, there are so many great things about screens that provide learning and, you know, interaction with others, good social skills, all of that. But we want to be for healthy habits with our screens.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I interrupted you, Jenna,
but
I just wanted to tag on that a little bit. So no screen time, and your evening is now doing things either on their own or as a family. And then what?
Usually. And then when it's time for bed, they just kind of know, they have their little checklist of things. Like when they were really little, I had pictures for them to kind of help remind them, because, you know, as a parent, it's exhausting to be super repetitive, and it just makes you want to beat your head against the wall sometimes.
Sure.
So pictures helped. Now they just kind of know. We just say, did you do all your things? You know,
and what do you mean pictures? What did you do for
that? Like a picture of a kid brushing their teeth, and then books. Like I had a picture of a book to go read in your bed after they did those things, and putting on pajamas.
So did you have those on like a page that they would check off that they did them, or did you have them
displayed
somewhere?
It was just in the bathroom.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
It just, I put it on a little frame in the bathroom. And so that was just my sanity of,
I've never heard
of that. I cannot repeat myself that many times.
I've never heard of doing that. And I love that idea.
I do too.
Yeah. They've outgrown it now, obviously. Yeah. So I've had to remove it from the bathroom. But occasionally I really do want to bring it back out, because it's not always peaceful.
Yeah.
But.
So they start their routine. So how long do you give them from the time that you're hoping they're like sleeping or close to sleeping to the time they start this journey? How much time do you usually give them?
Oh man, on nights where we have time, we do try to allow a good amount of time. I'd say maybe 45 minutes.
Okay. And part of that is because of all these other things you're going to share with us.
I guess.
That they do.
Yeah. I mean, some nights are quicker than others, and you just kind of have to say, okay, let's snap our fingers and get this done. I love you, but you got to go.
So like Wednesday nights when you come home from church,
there's
not a lot of time.
Those are a
right?
little rushed.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they still get, they still know what to do.
All right. So I'm gonna let you continue.
No worries. And then after they kind of are ready for bed and they've brushed their teeth, they've gone to the bathroom and they've got their pajamas on, we just give them time to read. And that's what we were talking about earlier, and just sit and be still. Whether that's reading or drawing, or the youngest, really, he could just sit in his bed with a car. And so I try not to let it be a time where they're necessarily playing and have toys, and just to be still, because I do feel like it really is good for them to just have that time to quiet their bodies and quiet their minds and just take time to be still before we tuck them in for the night. Because I think that really does set the tone for being able to rest, you know, even for us as adults too. It's good practice for us probably
too. So true. That's so true. And Jenna, do you find after they have that time to kind of quiet their minds, quiet their hearts when you tuck them in, are there moments where they're more open to share about how their day went or when you pray together?
Right.
Is that a time that you see that those quiet moments, you know, really playing into them being open to share more with you?
Probably. I do feel like we have some of our most like tender, special conversations are probably right before bed. Almost all of them have been, you
wow.
know, where the lights are out and it's quiet and it's still, and whether it's because they feel more vulnerable or whether it's they feel more comfortable, that might be, you know, mm-hmm. what plays into them just being ready to talk and have those conversations. Cause they typically are, you know, after we've prayed and tucked them in and, you know, as a parent, you're like, okay, and we're done, you know, and you're ready to like walk out the door. And
yeah.
then one of them will say, they do share a room. So, you know, one of them will say, you know, I have to talk to you about something or, you know, and then there's been enough of those moments now that we know not to rush them. You mm-hmm. know, we know to just let it happen and take that time to just allow them to be open and talk. Because as parents, it is sometimes you're just ready to walk out the door and shut the door
yeah.
and have your own space. But I would just encourage anybody to just let those conversations happen because mm-hmm. they are so sweet and so special.
Yeah. And some of the most important moments and maybe at some of the hardest times of parenting.
Mm.
So they're the most important because it's what we hope for. Just not right now when I'm really tired.
Right.
And yet, so we have to, you know, discipline ourselves, I think, in that.
Well, and sometimes you don't have all the answers right then either. You know, like your brain isn't ready to totally go with the conversation, but you just have to roll with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are there certain books or prayers that you read with them at night? Or is it something that you just walk into and kind of go as your heart, you know, leads you to?
Yeah, it's usually just as it leads. We homeschool. So in the mornings is kind of our time that we have like our devotion and our Bible study together.
Yeah.
So that's kind of more of our morning routine. Before bed, they usually read a little bit with their dad from a book. It's usually a novel. Right now they're reading My Side of the Mountain, which is cute. So that's just some time that they have together during the day, at the end of the day, since they don't have that during the day.
Sure.
And they're with me all day because we homeschool. So it is nice to let them have that time with their dad. And then when we pray, it's usually just like whatever's on our heart.
Yeah.
Whatever's going on with people in our lives, mm-hmm. prayer requests that we have, that we share with them, or things that are on their heart, maybe friends at church that they know that are going through something. And then one of us usually offers to pray, but sometimes they want to go ahead and pray before bed themselves with us too. So that's always sweet too.
It sounds like this is a routine you've been doing for a while. So you started when they were really young, but you did it differently, and then you've adjusted it as they've gotten older.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I can just hear parents listening to us thinking, oh, her kids, they're so easy.
Mm.
And my kids are so active. Now, I know her boys, and they're wonderful boys, but they're also active boys.
Oh, very.
Mm-hmm. And they've been together all day, homeschooling together. And so just to think that they're just going to go up to their beds and lay down and they're these complacent, compliant children. I'm not sure which word is right. Compliant.
Compliant.
Yeah, maybe both of those fit.
Yeah, I think both do.
Children. So those of you who have what you would think are active kids and you said, oh, we couldn't do this. This is something that takes time.
Yeah. And I guarantee you, my kids are very active and they're very busy, you know, so it's not always easy.
Yeah. So like you do one part of it at a time, you make it a routine and then you add things to it. There is no magic formula here. Lindsay, we talked about this at the very, very beginning of our podcast back in October, that we are not saying to our friends that are listening that we have the answers, and if you just do this, this is how faith is passed to your kids. What we're sharing are things we've learned along the way that people have done that have been successful, mm-hmm. and you do what works for your family.
Absolutely.
And so if you can't prepare 45 minutes in advance right. to get your kids ready, and you have 15 minutes, then you figure out how to make that work and be intentional about it, with the intent that we're trying to do more than just help our kids go to sleep. We're mm-hmm. trying to prepare them to hear from God, to be sensitive to God's Spirit, even as they go to sleep. And at the end of our podcast today, we're going to talk about some of those prayers or blessings that we can pray over our kids as they go to sleep.
Yeah, we have some really good ones.
Yeah. And so,
and I think it's also worth saying that, you know, I think of the scripture that His mercies are new every morning. So if things don't go to plan, yes. it's okay. Mm-hmm. The next day's a new day, and we have so many new days ahead of us.
Yep. And that's, we talk about that a lot too at the end of the day. It's not just ending this day, it's ending the day and getting ready for the next one. You know, like just prepare us tonight while we rest for whatever you have for us tomorrow, mm-hmm. you know? So totally
agree. Yeah, that's great. I think if there's something I was to pick out of all that you shared with us, Jenna, is that quiet time, that rest time. We live such busy, loud lives. I love that you help them get their mind ready by removing the screen time early in the evening and then giving them something to replace that with at bedtime when they're reading or drawing or whatever they're doing in that quiet time that they have. And I think you've shared with me that quiet time's around 20 minutes a lot of times. Is that right?
Yeah. On quick nights, you know, sometimes it's like just 10 minutes, but just to give them a little something to just reset and refocus. On nights where there's a lot of time, then yeah, they can have 20 or 30 minutes alone, just relaxing and interesting.
So do you have a regular morning time as far as like when they get up? So I'm thinking, okay, you homeschool your children, so it gives you a little mm-hmm. flexibility. And I'm thinking of parents whose kids are having to get up early, get on the bus right. or get ready for school. One of the reasons we rush because we got to get them in bed, get them to sleep because they have an early morning
True.
And lots to do in the morning.
True.
So do you have a regular, I mean, do they just know at a certain time in the morning we're up and we're getting our day going, or is there more flexibility because of homeschooling?
There is a little more flexibility. Once they're up and going, then we do, you know, there is kind of a routine and a rhythm that we have. But yeah, that would be a lot harder, you know, to be on a tight schedule in the morning. So I do appreciate the flexibility that we have to move into our mornings, maybe a little more peacefully than some parents have to do.
Sure. And I think too, that even if you have a time frame in the mornings that's a little bit more decided for you because right. of bus schedules, school schedules, there's still a way for those bedtime rituals to breathe a little bit more for your family and give time. Maybe like you said, you do your devotionals in the morning. Maybe one of the ways you can start practicing some quiet time as a family is reading a book together, mm-hmm. you know, and having some of that time together and then moving into the alone time if that works, you
yeah.
know? So like we said, there's no formula. It's taking this time and making it meaningful, turning the time into meaningful moments
exactly.
for the Lord and for your family.
Mm-hmm.
I think, Leon, back on an experience I had when I was a counselor at Royal Family Kids Camp. It was a really sweet experience. I was a counselor and part of the camp in my hometown of Northwest Ohio for over 10 years. And one of the things that we would do at this kids camp is we would have a camp grandma and grandpa and a camp aunt and uncle, because all of the children that came to Royal Family Kids Camp came from hard backgrounds. So they were either in foster families or they were adopted and just had some hard stories. And so the whole goal of the camp was to give them a week of positive memories they could carry with them the whole year long. And it did have a, you know, a faith base to the camp, but we all just really had to be cognizant of different backgrounds they came from too. And so while we did share the gospel with them throughout the week, when we were with them in the cabins, it was more just, you know, finding ways to meet their needs and just continue to give them positive affirmation. Well, during the night times, we had a bedtime ritual where grandma and grandpa and aunt and uncle would come around to the cabins, and they were the only ones of camp staff allowed to give full-on hugs to the kids. Everyone else gave side hugs to be respectful and appropriate. And so grandma and grandpa and aunt and uncle would come in, and they would give them these big bear hugs and tuck them in and make sure they had their blankets just right. And I had a camper for, I think I had her for 3 summers. And I remember the 3rd summer, she was always a really tough one to get to come down from everything at the end of the day. She just very active, you know, didn't want to sleep, didn't want to do anything that you shared with her. I mean, you were just trying everything. And there was this moment after grandma and grandpa and aunt and uncle had come in, and it was about midway through the week. And she settled, and I couldn't believe it. You know, my co-counselor and I were like, oh my gosh, okay, we're there. And so we would always play some music at night while they were laying in their bunks. And we turned on the music. Grandma and grandpa and aunt and uncle had left and had said prayers, and we had done the whole thing. And I hear her say, I love you. You know, just from her little bunk. And we were, my co-counselor and I, you know, we said it back, I love you too. And it was just the sweetest little moment. Like, she felt in that moment, which she probably didn't have a whole lot of those, that she felt safe and loved and cared for. And so she was able to verbalize that love in that moment. And I think, of course, she had felt loved before that, but it was just so beautiful to hear her say that. And, you know, you don't go and serve and give your time knowing what's going to happen, but that was super rewarding to be a part of that moment with her. And I think, whether you're at a kids camp or whether you're at home, like, creating these environments that are nurturing and loving for our kids, we may not realize how much it really is doing until one of those nights that they share something with you or you feel that connection in a new way. And so it's just a word of encouragement, I would say, Leon, that it's like, you know, just keep doing it. It matters. Yeah. It matters.
Yeah, that's a great story. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah, so we're hoping that what you're getting out of this is hearing from us the importance of bedtime, that it's not just to get kids to go to sleep so they can be ready for the next day. It gives us a great opportunity to be shaping them to be like Jesus, to hear from Jesus, to create habits and patterns in their lives that will stick with them and that they will carry with them throughout their lives.
Yeah. And I even think of the story of Samuel when he was a young boy and how the Lord spoke to him while he was asleep, while he was in bed. And he said, who is that? Mm-hmm. Is that Eli? And he goes back to Eli. Eli, was that you? And he said, no, that was the Lord. What a privilege we have to share with our kids. This was the Lord speaking to you, you know, to unpack that with them. That's a really special privilege that we get to have together.
Yeah, and I think one of the ways that we can kind of wrap up that process is by praying a blessing over them at the end of the night. And Lindsay, we've been making reference throughout this series to this book, Habits of the Household, and we've taken little tidbits here and there from it and
shared. Such a great book. It's on our website.
Yeah, it is. And there are some blessings that they have in here that they have done with their children. And I just thought they were really pretty cool. So I thought I would share them with you. And again, if you want the language of these blessings, then you can find the book at the website. Some of these are a little more lengthy. Some of them are shorter. So it would help to be able to have the book so you could see them. So the first of these that I want to share with you today is called A Bedtime Blessing of the Gospel. And this is between a parent and a child. So the parent says, do you see my eyes? Yes. Can you see what can you see that I see your eyes? Yes. Do you know that I love you? Yes. Do you know that I love you no matter what bad things you do? Yes. Do you know that I love you no matter what good things you do? Yes. Who else loves you like that? God does. Even more than me? Yes. Rest in that love. Just a simple little blessing that you can do over your child. And then there's one in here that I thought was really cute. Do you have that, Lindsay? The one on the short blessing for littles when they are
frustrated
with them?
Yes. A short blessing for littles when you are frustrated. The parent says, God loves you, Jesus died for you, and the Holy Spirit is with you. Good night. And then it says in italics, pause for a deep breath and a gentle touch. And the parent says, so I too will love you, I too will sacrifice for you, and I too will never leave you.
Yeah, that's a good one.
So good.
I think it's funny they put one in there when you're frustrated. this is a good one to pray. The last one that I want to share from the book is called A Blessing for the Body of a Child While Lying in Bed. And this is what it says. Jesus, bless their feet. May they bring good news. Bless their legs. May they carry on in times of suffering. Bless their backs. May they be strong enough to bear the burdens of others. Bless their arms to hold the lonely and their hands to do good work. Bless their necks. May they turn their heads toward the poor. Bless their ears to discern truth, their eyes to see beauty, and their mouths to speak encouragement. Bless their minds, may they grow wise. And finally, bless their hearts, may they grow to love you and all that you have made in the right order. Amen.
Amen to all those prayers.
Yeah, that's good. So, and of course, I've shared with you that I always pray a prayer over my grandkids when I'm with them before I leave them. And so I will leave all of you with this prayer that I usually do at the end of our podcast in a shortened version. Today, I'm going to do the whole version from the book of Numbers. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he turn his face towards you and give you peace. You've been listening to the Faith Together podcast from the Center for Faith and Family at Olivet Nazarene University. Sign up for additional resources at centerff.com. When building faith, we are better together.